You've heard about David with his rock and his sling, but he's greater. A king named Solomon who knew so many things, but he's greater. A man named Abraham who was God's friend. Look for a city not made with hands, but he's greater. Jesus is greater than all of these. He's greater, for he was our sacrifice. He's greater with his blood. He paid the full price and obtained eternal redemption once and for all. He's greater, for death could not hold him down. He's greater, and someday the trump's gonna sound. And that's when the greatest is coming for me. When your burdens get too heavy to carry, he's greater. And your heart breaks in two, 'cause you think you can't bear it, he's greater. Don't let those troubles make you give in. Take those burdens, cast them on him, for he's greater. Jesus is greater than all of these. He's greater, for he was our sacrifice. He's greater with his blood. He paid the full price and obtained eternal redemption once and for all. He's greater, for death could not hold him down. He's greater, and someday the trump's gonna sound. And that's when the greatest is coming for me. And that's when the greatest is coming for me.
Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 18, book of Matthew chapter 18. We'll begin reading in verse 21, Matthew again, 18, verse 21. When you find it and you're able, go ahead and stand up for the reading of God's word, Matthew 18, verse 21. The Bible says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on my fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thanks so much for another wonderful day we can come to your house and worship you. Thank you for keeping us safe as we go out on the buses and go to our Sunday school classes. Lord, help us today to be focused on your word and to have open hearts and open ears to listen to the message from your word and from God's man. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful grace you've already given us, the wonderful forgiveness we've already received. Help us to pay attention to the message and to make a decision that would better our lives for you, Lord. In your name, amen.
As you're being seated, it's very important this morning that you keep your Bibles open to the passage that Brother Seth just read us. It is, as you remember, if you've come across this in your scripture reading before, look at me, it is the best passage in the Bible about forgiveness. And it comes from the one who would be the great forgiver. Jesus has asked, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Till 7 times, and Jesus says 70 times 7. That's 490 times. By the way, that's not 490 times of forgiveness throughout your entire life. That's 490 times per offense, per person. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, there's no way I could keep up with that. He doesn't intend you to. I don't think there's an app on the phone yet on recording forgiveness, so you can just, all you have to say is, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, and it's not working like that. He's obviously trying to teach this person here, by the time you let it go, and that's what forgiveness means, let it go. It's not words. It's coming to the grace of God and learning to let something go that somebody has done to you. By the time you start with number one, way before you get to 490, you'll let that thing go. So then to kind of hammer that home, Jesus uses this amazing parable about a king who's taken record accounts of his business dealings, and he sees a guy owes him. Well, how much was that again? Look there in Matthew 18. Keep your Bibles open, please. He found this guy owed him 10,000 talents. If you're like me and one of those heathens who write in your Bible, right next to that, please, if you would, $250 million in modern day money. So he calls him in. He said, I want my money. And the guy said, sir, I can't pay it. I'm sorry. Give me time. I'll pay it. The king says, no, I don't waste any more time on this. So he said, I'm going to throw you in prison and your wife and your kids until you pay the debt. Now look at me, people. They didn't have bankruptcy lawyers in those days. You stayed in prison until you paid it off. And if the average salary in that day was somewhere around $7 to $10 a year, you figure how long this... See, this man wasn't just going to be sold for pay his debt. His wife would, his children would, his grandchildren, everybody after that. This man had just forfeited generations of people away. And he says, sir, just give me time, please, and I'll pay it. And did you see that? People, look at me. Did you see what the king did? Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave the debt. In a moment, he wiped it clean. Says, you don't owe me anything anymore. Never mind, it's gone. You're done. That's amazing when you stop to think about him. But the message from verse 28, but that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, next to that stuff you just wrote, write down $2. This guy, the $250 million man, finds someone who owes him $2, and he goes out and he says, I want my $2. And the guy says, well, I can't. He makes the same speech to him he just made to the king. And what does this guy do? Grabs him by the throat, says, you're paying me my $2, drags him down to the local debtor's prison, shoves him in there. And the Bible says when the fellow servants, the other guys who knew this $250 million man, when they heard about it, they went to the king and they said, you're not going to believe what just happened. The $250 million man would not forgive a $2 debt. The king brings him in. He says, you wicked servant, I forgave you so much. Why couldn't you forgive him so little? And the Bible said the king delivered this man to the tormentors until he could pay the debt back. There is so much about forgiveness in this parable this morning. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. It isn't just that he's trying to teach about forgiveness. He's trying to teach us about the forgiveness we have received from God. Because the king in the parable, that's the king, God. You know who the $250 million person is? That's us. And we owe a debt we could not pay. And we ask for time, forgiveness. And the king, in his compassion and mercy, wiped it clean. Hey, look at me. He didn't just say, okay, I'll give you time. He said, no, I forgive you. See, God is showing us that when he forgives us, he puts away from himself what we have done to him. Psalm 103, as far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions. When God forgives you, he does not know what you're talking about after that. It's done. The slate is clean. It's done. But the other lesson of forgiveness is, so then you come across somebody who's done something to you. Are you the one who, for $2, will not grant forgiveness? There's an equality here that he's trying to get us to understand. See, our ability to forgive others is based on how much we have been forgiven. Listen to me, not what has been done to us, based on what we have been forgiven. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now that means simply this, if you can equate this properly, I owe a debt to God I cannot pay. He forgives me for the sake of Jesus Christ and his precious blood. And anything anybody does to me, listen, anybody, anything does to me, it's $2 worth. If I see it right. Yeah, but it's not, it's really bad, Pastor. No, don't look at me. No, it's in relation to how much you have been forgiven. Not what they've done, what's been given you. Listen now, listen to us. Not what's happened to you, what you've been granted by the God of heaven. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing to stop and think about that. Then when you get to verse 28 and that little phrase at the beginning, but the same, how could this guy be just the same walking away? I preached a message on that years ago here. I'm not going to re-preach it this morning, but I'm going to use this text. I'm going to talk to you about this. Why do we take the forgiveness of God for granted? So not me, Pastor Johnson. Boy, I am thankful that I'm forgiven. And you thought about it how many times this week? Hey, how much did it cross your mind that in a moment of grace and simple repentance and faith, you turned to God and he wiped the slate clean of an eternity burning in hell forever? How much did you think about that this week, though? How much did it cross your mind? How much of our lives, all the hustle and bustle and the hurry and the scurry and the carrying on, how much of our week, just this week, now not any other time, but just this week, how much of that time was given to the fact, but you know what? I've been forgiven a debt I could not pay. By the grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, I have salvation. He has forgiven. See, it is true, isn't it? We tend to take it for granted, the forgiveness of God. How does that happen? And why? The same servant, verse number 28. Well, let me just say this very quickly before we get right into the message this morning. You do understand you have to have the forgiveness to give it. You can't grant forgiveness to somebody until you are that $250 million man there. That means you, friend. Everybody in this room, look at me now, look at me. Everybody in this room owes a debt to God that you'll never be able to pay in eternity in hell for. So I don't think you ought to word it like that, Pastor Johnson. Why? It's the truth. What are we afraid of salvation anymore for? I'm saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. And in a moment, we in simple repentance. Repentance means what? I realize I believe in this, doing this, living this way. I turn to Jesus. You don't stop sinning. You turn to Jesus and in simple faith, trusting his payment on the cross for your salvation and him alone and nobody or nothing else. You trust Christ to save you. You ask him to do so. Boom! The slate is clean just like that. See, you can't give any kind of forgiveness to anybody else until you've received that kind of forgiveness. So have you? Can you remember a time in your life where you realized that you owed a debt to God because of sin? And trusting only Christ as your Savior, you did so? And in that moment, he forgave you, wiped your slate clean, justified you in his sight, declared you to be his child, fit you a home in heaven. That moment, see, when you realize the enormity of the forgiveness I have received, that $2 thing kind of fits. But until then, it's not going to fit. Till then, what someone does to you is much greater than what? See, we've got to get the equation right. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, let all wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and all bitterness and all wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. How do you do that? The next verse, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You can let all that stuff go if you realize that which they did that hurts you so much. But when I say $2 worth, I'm not trying to cheapen the wrong people do to folks today. Please understand that. But listen to me, if you make that bigger than what you did to God that crucified Jesus Christ, you'll never get that forgiveness thing down. You'll never nail it. But then once you receive it, how does this guy in verse 28, how does he just turn around and walk away the same servant? You mean that quickly, just like that? He meets somebody who needs forgiveness and he won't give it? Well, how does that happen? How do we know if we have taken the forgiveness of God for granted? How do we know that? Because it is quickly forgotten. I don't see any time, spatial thing here in this parable about when the man was forgiven and when he met the $2 friend. I don't see any, according to the parable, if I get it right now, I'm not trying to put legs on this thing or anything else, but let's get it straight. He walks out of the building where he was just forgiven $250 million worth, sees a friend. Hey, but hey, you owe me $2. Just that quick. That's how we know we've taken the forgiveness of God for granted. It happens pretty quickly, doesn't it? We just kind of, yeah, well, I've been, you know, I got a lot going on this week, Pastor Johnson. Yeah, you're the only one. But if you knew, hey, if you knew what was going on in my life at this particular time, I would imagine we could all sit down and have a little mini Oprah session and go through the whole thing. And I could tell you mine, you could tell me yours, and we would all sit there, and by the time we were done, we'd both want to go jump off a bridge. The truth of the matter is, people, look at me. The truth of the matter is, it's amazing to realize just how quickly, yeah, well, see, we can forget how we've been forgiven by God. Well, Pastor, it was a long time ago. Aren't you glad God hasn't forgotten? Hey, aren't you glad God hasn't forgotten? Remember when Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to send you out two by two, and he sent them out together. They made the devil subject to him and all that stuff. And they came back with this glowing report of how the devils were subject to them and people were getting healed. I mean, he got this big list. They were so excited. And what did Jesus tell them? Rejoice not that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice rather that your name is written in heaven. Do you realize the moment you trusted Christ, the Bible says in the book of life, your name is written. God hasn't forgotten that. Yeah, but what if I... No, God hasn't forgotten that. God hasn't changed his mind about the fact that he saved you. Remember something about salvation. People have a problem. Some people have a problem with the eternal security of the believer. They think somehow or another you get saved by grace through faith in Christ, and then if your life isn't right, you don't have that anymore. You got the wrong kind of salvation, friend. Saved by grace through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no works to it. No works to get it, no works to keep it, no works to give it up. Now look at me. That means God has decided he's not going to forgive the fact that you are his child. So why do we so quickly forgive? Doesn't make a difference how long ago it was. Louise Cooper and Lester Jackman used to come to our church. Some of the old settlers remember them. They came, and I won't go to the story how they came in our church because it's too embarrassing. What an idiot I am. But they came to our church. Lester Jackman was in his 90s. He was 93 or 4, I think, when he passed away. Never married. And I always asked him, I said, Brother Lester, why didn't you ever marry? He goes, I never had the money. I said, you wouldn't have any after you got married. So what difference does it make? So, he said, no, I never got married. He went to get a checkup when he was in his late 80s, and the doctor took his blood, nurse checked his blood pressure, and she said, Mr. Jackman, you got the blood pressure of a 25-year-old man. What do you do? He looked at her and said, I've never been married. That's not criticizing marriage, by the way. Let's just be clear about that. I first met him, I asked him his testimony. He said, Pastor, When I was a six-year-old boy in Detroit, Michigan, I walked the aisle in Billy Sunday Crusade, took Billy Sunday by the hand, and I received Christ as my Savior. That's a lot of years. I can't even figure out how many that is without a calculator. That's a lot of years. Brother Lester never forgot that. God never forgot that. How quickly, huh? You know how many people I come across, they ask them if they're a saved person, a child of God. Oh yeah, I'm saved. But their life doesn't reflect it, which has nothing to do with your salvation. But to me, how could you be the same servant? Forgiven such a great debt, how could it happen so quickly that we just turn around and go about our life and go about our days and go about the way we live and just get all caught up in the life and the world and who owes me and I'm indebted to and who's indebted to me and na-na-na-na-na-na. The horizontal life thing today is almost disgusting. People are so caught up in their little personal lives and who they are and what they are. And ladies and gentlemen, but if you ask, well, I was traveling this week in Ohio, preaching, talking to people about their salvation. Yeah, I'm saved. I know Christ is my Savior. So, well, what do you do? Well, I just do this. But there's nothing about their life that reflects a Christian life. And I think, you mean to tell me you're going to take this $250 million debt, wipe clean, and then just go on? The same? It happens quickly. That's how we know if we're taking God's forgiveness for granted. It happens quickly. Number two, look at verse number 28. We know we've taken his forgiveness for granted because it is not given as it should. This $250 million man, let me see it again. Now, verse 28, the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who had owed him 100 pence, $2, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Look here. He sees a guy who owes him $2. He remembers the $2 debt after $250 million wiped clean. By the way, that's one of the proofs you haven't forgiven somebody, if you still remember all that they did. Now, our minds will remember things, but to go back and dig it all up again and keep thinking about it and running it over again and running it over again, I'll tell you what they did. I'll tell you what happened to me. And then they back up 15, 20 years. Huh? That proves that you haven't given the forgiveness you need to give, because you still remember it. He remembers what was owed him. He expects that person to make it right. If they make it right with me, so their your willingness to forgive is based on their repentance and what they do. Well, that's what you do with God. You have to tell him you're sorry, and then he'll forgive you. You know, God's already prepared forgiveness before you ask for it. Hey. He won't grant what he was so easily given in his life. Sad when you read that parable and look through it, and the $2 man says, give me a chance, I'll pay it back. That should have just sort of stopped this guy in his tracks and said, whoa, wait, didn't I just do the same thing with my king? Didn't I just beg him to give me some time? And this man's asking for some time. Wow, what's happened here? Ladies and gentlemen, you take God's forgiveness for granted in your life when you will not forgive somebody else. Every time I read that thing in Genesis about Joseph and his brothers sold him to slavery, and then he goes to Egypt, he's sold to Potiphar's house, then he's falsely imprisoned. I mean, this guy, he lost 20 years of his life because of the jealousy and the wickedness of his own brothers. Then 20-some years later, those same brothers come to Joseph. Now he's the second most powerful man in Egypt. That means in the world too, by the way. And when they come, Joseph has the chance to just get his, he's going to get them for this, right? He's got the power. He's got the moment. He'd be justified in everybody's sight to make those guys pay for what they cost him. Then he embraces them. He takes them in. He takes care of them. Not only that, but after years pass, their father, Jacob, dies. And those same brothers who did him so wrong send a messenger to Joseph. They don't even come themselves and say, Dad said you had to forgive us. Jacob never said any such thing. They didn't even have the audacity to go and ask them themselves. They sent a messenger to him, and the Bible said Joseph wept and said, am I in the place of God? You got a God complex? Like, you're God. You can only grant forgiveness when you determine, when you decide what you think. And Joseph just said, you guys, you have to understand, You meant it for bad. God meant it for good. It's all right. We're fine. Because in Joseph's mind, it was already done. Ladies and gentlemen, you take God's forgiveness for granted when you're not willing to give it. For whatever you're holding against somebody, for whatever reason it may be. And I'll say it again. Some of that stuff doesn't look like $2 worth when they take your innocence, when they mess with your life. I understand that. I totally get the picture, friend. But the bottom line is, until you equate it correctly, you're going to be holding something against somebody. And God, it'll affect you. Therein is the proof we have forgiven. You let it go. In Joseph's mind, it was a done deal. He didn't just take care of him because he wanted to keep him close so he could kill him. He wouldn't run the mafia. Keep your enemies close. That just, no. He'd already forgiven his brothers. I believe he forgave them before they took him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites. If not there, I believe he forgave him when he was sold to Potiphar's house. If not there, I believe he forgave him when they imprisoned Joseph falsely. If not there, he decided to forgive them when he was exalted to the throne and given restored in his life. But I guarantee you, somewhere before his brothers ever asked him, Joseph already decided, and it was a done deal with him. Because when God forgives you, God forgets. You know how we know if we've taken God's forgiveness for granted? Quickly, now watch this. Look at verse 31. When he will not forgive the $2 man, it says, so when his fellow servants saw that was done, they were sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. You know how you know you've taken God's forgiveness for granted? When it affects your testimony. Hey, look at me. We call them pickle puss Christians. They look like they got baptized in grapefruit juice. They got any joy in their life. They got no happiness in their life. You know what? They're lousy testimonies. Hey, they're just as bitter as the world, just as angry as everybody else is. As soon as this guy would not forgive the $2 debt, no doubt some other fellow servants were standing there. They said, did you see what just happened? That man was forgiven so much and he would not forgive. They went to the king and said, sir, your $250 million man wouldn't grant a $2 forgiveness. It affects your testimony. It affects how you are perceived by other people. Because you know why? Forgiven people and forgivers of people are free. Hey, it sets you free, friend. It helps you get all that stuff cleared out in the past and all that. It's all done. You're done. My dad, as you know, my testimony, my father was a preacher, ran off with a woman in the church for more than almost 20 years of my life. He really wanted very little to do with me. When I was about 18, 19 years old, my dad came and asked me to forgive him. First time. He'd done it a few times after that, too, because he did a few more things as time came on. But I'd already decided to forgive him. It was a done deal in my mind. So when he said, Mike, I want you to forgive me, son, I'm sorry what I did. I left you and your mom and all that happened to you in your childhood. He said, son, I bear my responsibility, and I'm sorry. I said, no problem. He goes, come on now. Come on, Mike. Don't do that. I said, what? He goes, be serious. He goes, I am serious. I said, Dad, I let it go a long time ago. You hear me? I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm the great forgiver of everybody on this planet. But he said, you know what? I noticed something was different about you because I used to be a semi-hostile kind of person. Now you see the mild-mannered soul standing before you today. Yeah. Well, you want to live an angry, bitter life, hey? You want everybody else to see it. You know, they say bitterness is the only chemical that destroys its own container. It is also in the Bible likened to a poison called the gall of bitterness. It poisons you and it becomes like a drug. You get addicted to it. You don't think people around you can't see that? How you seem to have no joy about stuff. How your life is, everything's negative. It's all bad and everything's wrong and everybody's wrong. And you start messing with everybody else. Hebrews says you better watch and pull that root of bitterness, else it springs up and thereby defiles many. You know you've not received, you know you're taking the forgiveness of God for granted when it affects your testimony. One more thing this morning. Look at verse 32 to 35. It also alters your fellowship with God. So when the king hears about it, he brings him in. And he says, you wouldn't forgive this man? He says, okay, I had pity on you. You get no pity now. And the king takes him, the $250 million man, puts him in prison to deliver to the tormentors until he pays the whole debt. He lost the forgiveness he had been given. This is not talking about salvation. This is talking about the practical part of the Christian life. There's something in there, the Lord's Prayer, about I'm supposed to forgive others even as I, hey, God has forgiven me. Isn't that in there somewhere? Don't you understand? You're messing with your fellowship with God if you won't forgive like you should. That's how you know. Guess what? Because I grieve the Holy Spirit of God if I won't forgive somebody. But you don't understand. Listen to me. Back it up. Stop looking at them and what they are and are not and did and did not do, and back it up. Chalk it up to $2 worth and step back and see the great forgiveness you've received from God and realize it costs you too much to not forgive. It's too costly. See, you think by being mad at them and angry at them that somehow or another that makes your life better. You get to lay awake at night all twisted up and mad and angry and hostile toward people, and you think somehow or another that person who wronged you, they're over there tossing the floor worrying about you, worrying about them. No, they're not. They're sleeping like Jonah down in the boat, man. They could care less. No, I'm sorry. You see, so you never get your feelings hurt. Well, of course I do. No one ever does anything to you. Yeah, they do. You've never been wrong. Yeah, yeah, a couple times. That dad who asked me to forgive him at 18, he had to ask a few more times, and a few more times after that. Good thing about forgiveness, once you learn to do it right, it's practice. You'll be ready. People will help you with your practice too, by the way. You'll get there, yeah. But you'll learn something. You know what? There's no use holding on to this. You're going to let it go. And when you let it go, your fellowship with God is clear, because, see, the great forgiver looks at you and says, if you're so willing to forgive, I'll be so willing to forgive you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't want whatever that is to get between you and God. You let it go. By the grace of God, you will, if you keep in mind how much you have been forgiven. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.